In verse 4 of Psalm 23, which we studied not last week but the week before, the psalmist talked about going through the valley of the shadow of death. It was a place of darkness, a place of fear, a place of sadness. Times were hard. But then the psalmist reassures his readers that after the shadow comes the light. And after the death comes the life after death. After sadness comes joy. And after hunger comes the table. And so he writes in the very next verse, "You have prepared a table for me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over." On the day that my mother died, September 20th, 2011, my sister and I were with her at the hospital at 5 in the morning. She knew that her time was up. We had brought the Bible so that we could read to her some of her favorite passages. And of course, one of those readings was the 23rd Psalm. We started with that, and I didn't even look it up. We just started saying it together. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And we were all three saying it. I got to verse 4 and then skipped verse 5, this verse. And Mom, in her weak little voice, reached over and touched my hand and she said, "Honey, you forgot the table." And then she said, "Don't ever forget the table." It was something she never forgot, the table. Oh, how she loved to prepare a table. She loved to share her home and her food and her laughter and her love with those she invited. And that was just about anybody and everybody she knew. When Mom was 85, my son Colin gave her a bread machine. And she loved that bread machine because she could bake bread for everybody. She wasn't driving anymore by that point. And so that even made it better because she'd call them and tell them she had a loaf of bread and they'd come over and she'd have what she called a tea party. She wore out 2 bread machines until Colin finally bought her a commercial grade bread machine. We live in an area where food is appreciated, perhaps more than most other areas. In Louisiana, the way you get together with friends is over food. And you never go to the house of somebody, a friend, that they won't offer you something to eat or something to drink or both. We equate a good table with a good life. Well, so does our Lord. He loves to prepare a table for us. In meditating on this verse, I realized that what it's really saying here is that God wants to throw a party for us. All of the imagery in this verse indicates a feast. In biblical times, when you threw a party and your guests arrived, you anointed their heads with oil. And when a guest's cup was running low, you filled it. That's what a good host does. And that's what makes a successful party. Then I began to look at how prevalent the image of God preparing a feast for us is throughout the Bible. He's forever inviting us and feeding us and nurturing us. But sadly, I think too often Christians think of our religion as a diet. I got to give up this. I can't do that anymore. But that's not how God sees it. And that's not how Jesus portrays it. God sees our religion as a feast. And he invites us to share the very best he has to offer. It's time to change our focus, perhaps. And I think that's exactly what Pope Francis means when he says it's time to stop accenting what the church forbids and start focusing on what the church offers. which is God's overwhelming love, his desire for our fellowship, and the replenishment of both our souls and our bodies at his feast. So today, as we look at verse 5, I want to begin by looking at some of this imagery of the table that God sets for us. First, we're going to look as he sets it in the Old Testament. And then after your groups, we'll look at some New Testament images that Jesus prepared tables. And we're going to see all the reasons that God feeds us and benefits of his food as we examine various feasts. So let's begin in the Old Testament. At the beginning of the Bible, from the very beginning of God's relationship to humanity, he set out to feed them. In the Garden of Eden, he told Adam and Eve, "I give you every seed-bearing plant and tree to be your food." Creation itself is a table that God has set for us. Later, in the Exodus experience, God provided manna and quail in the desert because the people simply couldn't feed themselves and they had to eat or they couldn't live. But one of my favorite stories in the Old Testament about God feeding us is about a man named Elijah and how God prepared several tables for him. Elijah was a prophet. He was sent by God to lure his people back to worshiping the Lord because they had sunk once again to worshiping false idols. They had a wicked king at that time. His name was Ahab. You may not be familiar with the name Ahab, but I'll bet you're familiar with his wife. Her name was Jezebel. She was a pagan, and she brought with her 450 pagan priests. And she talked Ahab into letting her build temples to these foreign gods all over Israel. And so in this way, the people were beguiled into worshiping all these foreign gods, the things people all around them in the rest of the world worshiped. Now that may sound, if you think about it, sort of familiar. Oh, we don't have a wicked king building false altars, but we have a worldly culture that does. And in our society, it just gets easier and easier to worship at the altars of power and pride and ego rather than to worship at God's altar. Well, anyway, getting back to Elijah. God sent Elijah to the king and queen to tell them that they were in serious trouble, that they had disobeyed God's commands, and that there would be consequences. And he predicted that there would be a terrible drought. The king and queen, instead of heeding the message, put a price on the head of the messenger. So God told Elijah to flee to the desert and hide. But in the desert, God prepared a table for Elijah. He drank water from a stream, and God told ravens to bring him food every morning and every evening. Eventually, Elijah had a monumental clash with all 450 priests of the god Baal. Elijah won that contest and ultimately killed all the priests, and you can imagine how that infuriated Jezebel. So she sent word to Elijah that tomorrow he would be dead. The Bible says Elijah was afraid and he fled for his life. So once again, Elijah's back in the desert, fleeing for his life. He traveled a day into the desert until he came to a broom tree. And he sat beneath it and he said, "I've had enough, O God. Take my life." And then he lay down under the broom tree. It's not easy being a good person in a bad world. Elijah had done exactly what God had asked him to do. He'd been a good person. And yet all he got for it was pain and rejection and heartache. Everything was such a struggle. And he was tired. He was just plain tired, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Maybe some of you can understand how Elijah felt. Maybe you've tried really hard to be a good person, the person God wants you to be, but no matter what, you still face rejection or trouble in your family or a decline in your health or the health of someone you love. Or maybe you're struggling with a habit you can't break or a sin that's very hard for you to overcome. Maybe it's some sort of long-standing, never-ending burden that you're stuck with. Whatever it is, maybe you're just tired. And maybe you've prayed, "I've had enough, O Lord." How did God respond to Elijah? And what does this tell us about God's response to us? After Elijah slept under the broom tree, an angel tapped him on the shoulder, the Bible says. And she told him to eat something and you'll feel better. She must have been a mama angel. So the Bible says Elijah ate and drank and then he went back to sleep. And he slept well. He rested. He got up and the angel was back with more food and more water. And the angel said some important words to Elijah, but they're important for us, I think. She said to him, "Get up and eat, or the journey will be too long for you." Now first, notice that when Elijah was tired and discouraged and he took it to God in prayer, God didn't preach him a sermon on the value of work. And he didn't castigate him for complaining. God prepared a table for him. Right there. Right where he was. And Elijah ate at God's table. Because without it, the journey would be too long. After he ate and drank, the Bible says he walked 40 days and 40 nights to the mountain where the Lord told him he would meet him. And when he got there, the word of the Lord came to Elijah and said, "Go out and stand on the mountain, for the presence of the Lord is about to pass by." And then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart, but the Lord wasn't in the wind. And after the wind, there was an earthquake, and it shattered rocks. But the Lord wasn't in the rock. And after the wind, there was a great fire. But the Lord wasn't in the fire either. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Elijah learned God doesn't always reveal himself in powerful, miraculous ways. God prefers to be present to us in unfrightening things, like the whisper of the Holy Spirit in our conscience, or the bread and wine presented to us when he prepares a table for us. You know, every meal that we have ever eaten that nourished our bodies and refreshed our minds is a gift of God, whether we know it or not, whether we acknowledge it or not. God prepares a table for us. It could be under our broom tree of discouragement. It could be our family supper. It could be our Thanksgiving dinner, which we're about to celebrate in a few weeks. Or it could simply be lunch with friends. God prepares a table to give us fuel for our bodies. Because without it, the journey will be too long for us. My mom was still baking bread well into her 9th decade when finally her health declined and she broke her 3rd bread machine. Her baking stopped. But you know, the multiplication of her loaves continues. Because mom's bread was a sign of something so much deeper. It was a sign of her love. A love that satisfies more than physical hunger. It satisfies our emotional need for love. And God's bread is like that when He prepares a table for us. And I've learned that love like that is stronger than death. So when we're tired, and when we've failed, and when we've had enough, God prepares a table for us so the journey won't be too long for us. Let's sit down and enjoy the feast. For the bread which you have broken, Lord, for the wine that you have poured, for the words that you have spoken, now we give you thanks, O Lord. For the promise that you love us, for the gift of peace restored, at the table that you offer, strengthen all our lives, O Lord. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.